One of the biggest mistakes, no matter what industry you're in, is making the copy all about you. One of the easiest ways to fix that is to go through it and say, how many times do we say we or I versus you, the reader? Because they should always know what's in it for them while they're reading.
Welcome to the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Doust. Since 2007, Quiet Light Brokerage has been helping thousands of online entrepreneurs realize their dream of buying and selling online businesses. And now, we're bringing all the knowledge our team has acquired straight to you. No matter your niche or industry, these lessons, tips, and strategies will help you build, grow, acquire, or sell your online businesses better. And now, here's Joe and Mark.
Joe, you spent a lot of years in the direct response world, specifically within the agency world and buying radio ads, right?
Yeah, yes, I did. Wrote a lot of copy.
And this is an area that we're going to talk about today, writing copy. I find for myself when I have to actually write copy, it's a completely different mindset from pretty much everything else. And it can be difficult to do. Deanna Patch, and she is a professional copywriter for specifically conversions, right?
Yes. Leanna Patch did a presentation at the Blue Ribbon Mastermind in front of 150 entrepreneurs, and she writes copy that converts. She calls herself a conversion copywriter, which I think is brilliant. I'm sure it's a phrase that lots of people have heard, but for some reason, it was brand new to me. Although that's what I did. That's what my contractors did back in my radio days and my online days. But what she did was she infused comedy into her presentation, and she infuses comedy into her clients' websites, their emails, all of their different campaigns. And Mark, it works. I'm telling you, her presentation was fantastic. She gave some examples of what the before and after copy was like, and it just made me want to read it. When you go to her website, it just makes you want to stay on the website and poke around and look at different things. And throughout the whole podcast, I keep going back to her website and giving examples that I think are just hilarious and make me want to keep reading. And I don't think enough of us e-commerce entrepreneurs, SaaS entrepreneurs, whatever you want to call yourself, infuse the human factor and a little bit of comedy into your content so that people realize you're not, you know, just some big corporation that's sending your standard email. Makes a big difference, I think.
Absolutely. Anytime you can get somebody to laugh, that's going to loosen them up and also disarm them a little bit from that and accessible as well. That's fantastic. You need to make sure you send me your website so I can take a look and enjoy some of the copy as well.
Yeah, there's some great ideas that you can get right from her website. But this is important stuff, right? Our first line of engagement with our customer is content. There's going to be some visual stuff, but there's usually some content as well. So anyone listening that has any online presence or hopes to buy one and do better than the previous owner, I would strongly recommend they listen to this entire podcast.
All right, well, let's get to it.
Hey, folks, it's Joe Valley at the Quiet Light Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. Today, I have a very special guest. Her name is Leanna Patch. Leanna, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are apparently funny. You're from Punchline Copy. I know you're funny because I saw you at the Blue Ribbon Mastermind. There's no question about being apparently funny.
Oh, good.
You said some pretty vulgar things in front of a big crowd of entrepreneurs, and you could have fallen flat on your face or they all could have laughed out loud, and you did it within like the first 60 seconds. And
I did.
We all laughed out loud, so thank you.
I'm so glad.
It made us very comfortable being obnoxious ourselves. So thank you for that. And I've looked at your website, and I want you to tell folks about yourself, but then I'm going to just like comment on a few things as well. So for the folks listening, instead of me doing that introduction, that fancy thing, why don't you tell us who you are, what you do, and what you're all about?
Sure. So I'm a conversion copywriter, which basically means I don't just make stuff up. I base my copy on customer research and what people need to actually hear. And on top of that, I use humor as a tool to help mostly e-commerce stores and bootstrap software businesses connect better with their customers and retain customers longer.
Conversion copywriter. Wow. Yeah. I love that. Did you make that up?
I did not.
Somebody else coined that phrase?
I believe we can attribute it to the great Joanna Wiebe. She is a fabulous copywriter. I'm pretty sure she came up with the term conversion copywriting. She's the most well-known one.
Okay.
And I met her in her first copywriter mastermind.
And we will attribute it to Joanna Wiebe. But conversion copywriter really stands out and tells people exactly what you do. It's pretty quick and pretty direct to the point.
Yeah.
But you you infuse it with humor. So I just want, for people that are not watching this video, on the homepage of your website, where is it? It says, oh, I've got to scroll down a little bit. Where is it? All right. There's something that says something along the lines of, oh my God, it's gone. I'm on the wrong page. Really? Anyway, it says something along the lines of blank, 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 AF. And it's right there in your face, funny as AF. And for those that don't have teenagers and don't understand what, I'm sorry, for those that don't understand what that means, ask your teenager, because they do. You have a knock, knock joke on your website as well. And it says, knock, knock, who's there? And the answer is a shitload of money. It's all good. It's all funny. And it converts. So tell us about some of the experiences you've had with people that have terrible copy and how you fixed it and what kind of impact it has on their endline revenue, which is what folks are really looking for.
My favorite type of client to work with is someone that comes to me and says, okay, we did the thing where we hired a professional copywriter and we come off like really cool and corporate and solid and we hate it and it's not working and we need to be more personal and funny. Please help. Because they already know the value. They already know that humor is going to help them connect better. So one example that I have been talking about a lot lately, because it's exciting. It's an e-commerce brand that sells wedding rings. It's called Manly Bands. I came in and worked on some of their product descriptions, and they already had a super fun brand. They were already using humor throughout. I like to think of them as like the Dollar Shave Club of wedding rings. But their product descriptions were very short and they were kind of funny, but they weren't really converting. So I went in, wrote longer descriptions, which is funny for some people because they think, oh, short copy is better. People don't like to read. People will read. If you give them a reason to. And we made them funny and we made them personable and kind of weird. And they boosted conversions almost across the board, both add to cart conversions and purchase conversions. So that was a really great test result to just be able to point to and say, hey, look, it works.
That's great. It's a, you know, I'm old school direct response. I used to sell stuff on radio. We'd write a 60-second spot ad that had to convert with someone actually calling the 800 number. I started in 1997, as I said before, but it you have to write copy that converts and get an action. So I love the conversion copy and it's measurable. But you also talked about not just on the website where people are looking at the product description, not necessarily in the cart, things of that nature, but you really, if you have a client and can touch every aspect of their branding campaign, do you hone in on that? And if yes, what kind of things do you do?
I do try to. So I work more on the, I work closer to the purchase and post-purchase retention. That's kind of my jam. So I do a lot of emails and I really feel like email is the one place we can use humor the most because it's the ability to build that one-on-one connection. You can be so personal, you can be so weird and funny in email and people will, you know, even if it's coming from a brand, they'll be like, I like this. It feels like a real person in my inbox. Mm-hmm. Versus top of funnel. Sometimes you can scare people away with humor if you go about it the wrong way. It just depends on your brand and how willing you are to test those kinds of things. But if I can, I'll address all of those touch points because they should be cohesive, right? There's got to be a message match between the ad, the landing page, the follow-up emails, you know, the eventual sale or whatever it is that you guide people to.
I think the instinct of an entrepreneur that's building a brand is to give the impression to the end customer. The first impression is to that, hey, we're a real company. We're doing things in a very professional manner, which kind of may be boring. I just had a business that went under contract fairly quickly with multiple offers, and his customer service emails and responses were, hey, thanks for helping the little guy. We're here just, you know, taking care of my son, Jonas, and really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I think that does resonate. I think you said the word feel. It feels like a real person behind the email and really reaches out and helps them quite a bit. So you will touch all aspects of it from, if you can, from the website to, I mean, from the email to conversion. Will you do follow-up emails after the sale as well and work with the customer on all aspects of it there?
That's actually one of my favorite things to work on. I was just talking to my friend Val Geisler. She's an awesome email strategist about this. And we were talking about, especially with e-commerce businesses, so many people are neglecting the long-term post-purchase follow-up sequence. So someone's bought once and then they just get thrown back into this regular newsletter or sales email cycle. And there's no like follow-up and say like, hey, do you want this product that sort of corresponds to what you bought? You get the review ask emails every now and then or take a survey, but there's like 2 to 3 emails max after the purchase and then you just get lumped into existing customers. There's no specific long-term nurture track to get you back for that second purchase. So that seems like a huge opportunity for most e-commerce stores and for Humor, because again, they've already bought from you once. Now is the time to build the relationship more.
And it's not just spamming them with emails. If you're writing good content that's funny and enjoyable and they like reading them, they're probably not going to unsubscribe.
Right.
Perhaps.
Right. And you can test your, you know, your sending limits. Like if you start to see a higher rate of unsubscribes, back off. That's not rocket science.
So I did a podcast early in the week with a guy named John Warrilow, and he's written several books, and he has something called the Value Builder System. And it's all about creating recurring and repeat revenue in your business. And I would think that what you're doing is helping build the relationship with the customer so that if they sell a one-off product, you said earlier, you know, hey, maybe you might be interested in this too. That follow-up email sequence keeps them engaged and maybe perhaps will help them become a repeat customer and buy an additional product along the way.
Yeah.
Definite goal.
Yes. And even if it's, you know, even if it's something that they might not need two of, I hear this a lot from mattress companies. I've worked with a few mattress companies. You know, A, they have other product lines. They have bedding and pillows and things like that, accessories. But B, even if you move into a different business completely, if you've built those crazy rabid fans, they'll follow you, you know, to whatever you do next.
So you've mentioned Man Rings was the first one or something
Manly
like that.
Manly bands.
Yeah. I love it. And a mattress company. So, I mean, very, very diverse product categories here. What other kind of physical product companies do you work with? So people listening can say, oh yeah, okay, she could help.
Oh yeah. Clothing. I like to work with clothing. Honestly, any consumer product I think is really fun. I have to obviously believe that there's a benefit to it. I've had people come to me, especially in the supplement world, I'm a little skeptical sometimes of actual benefits. So I like to try the product first and say, can I get behind this? And if I can, then I'll happily write copy for it. And if I can't, then I will.
You know, I could have, I wish we met, what is it, a decade ago now, right? I sold my company in 2010. And boy, you would have had fun with it. I sold a colon cleansing product.
Oh, great.
We started selling colon cleansing on radio back in 2002, did a TV infomercial in 2003, went 100% online in 2005, and ultimately built a digestive wellness center around it. But boy, you would have had some fun with it.
Is that like colon cleansing from the outside in or from the inside out?
Well, that's from the inside out.
Okay.
No, it wasn't all colonics. Right. It was you take
that's
the pill
to
and something
yeah.
didn't happen.
Okay.
and it was, you know, for those listening, I mean, you can't, you think, oh, what's fun about my product? You can't, you have to be serious about it. Something like that, we tried to be serious about it. And I think it was okay. We got lots and lots of testimonials and people would actually love to be, strangest thing ever. People, when we produced the TV infomercial, we had a producer travel around the country following up people that gave testimonials and they'll actually get on camera and talk about their bowel movements, mm-hmm. which is just crazy. And you would have had a great deal of fun with it and we could have made more fun of it and made it more enjoyable for all, I guess. But I mean, you can, from what I've seen in your presentation, you kind of make every little aspect of it fun so that the entire feeling of the company is joyful and fun. For instance, the 404 redirect that you put up on the screen at Blue Ribbon Mastermind. Can you describe that for the people?
Yeah. So that's one of my favorite places where people aren't expecting Humor to just give them a joke or something weird. And this is, what was it called? I think it was eventcenter.uk or something. The site's not there anymore. But it's oh no, you hit the wrong link. This isn't here. Choose one of our developers to fire. And it's four guys. And if you click one of them, he puts his head down in his hands and the rest of them look relieved. And it says like, oh no, he's only been working here for 6 months. He was just an intern. Like, you're so horrible. And then it redirects you back to the homepage.
Keeps people on the site versus yeah. you hit a 404 redirect. Oh my God, these guys are terrible. And you leave. So
there's so many great ones. NPR has one too. That's, oh, there's nothing here, but here's a bunch of other articles about missing things. And there's an article about like lost luggage, Jimmy Hoffa, you know, our retirement, things like that.
Awesome.
Very tongue in cheek for them. Like,
that's fantastic. Yeah. What would you say from your experience in the clients that you've worked with, what would you say are some of the biggest mistakes that they make when writing copy?
One of the biggest mistakes, no matter what industry you're in, is making the copy all about you. One of the easiest ways to fix that is to go through it and say, how many times do we say we or I versus you, the reader? Because they should always know what's in it for them while they're reading.
Okay. So back on the focus of the customer, what kind of things have you seen happen when people, if they want to take one, two or three steps and try to improve their own copy, is that step number one? What other things should they do to try to make a big change? And what area should they focus on first? Is it the tagline on their website? Is it the email? Is it something in the cart? Where do you focus on first?
I'd like to focus on whatever's closest to the actual purchase. So that's going to have the biggest effect on revenue. If you can improve your checkout, not just copy, but UX, you know, if you're using something that's not an out of the box thing like Shopify, you might have some serious UX issues in your checkout that you don't know about. What else?
But you're infusing humor in the copy, in the checkout.
If I can.
If you can.
I was just talking about this morning. It's interesting how things connect. I think it's Shopify doesn't really let you change the form instructions or form autofill, like the placeholder text in the checkout, but that can be hugely persuasive. And that's a great place to run tests because you can just change something like email address to your email address or your favorite email address. And that can have a huge impact on conversions. And obviously changing copy on the buy button can have a big impact too, but all of those things come standard and you can't tweak them unless you're a custom coder. And I think even then it's hard to get that stuff developed. So I don't know. That's been like a pet peeve of mine with certain checkouts.
You want full control. You want to be able to touch everything and change it and make it better.
Yeah. Because I've been through some checkouts that are just delightful and it makes you want to keep going. Even if it's a multiple screen checkout, there's, do you know Cards Against Humanity? I mentioned yes. them at the talk. They have actually a fortune cookie company.
They have all sorts of stuff.
Okay. It's called OK Cookie, and the fortunes are horrific. I have one over there that says, "You will die at an Arby's in Columbus, Ohio." that's the kind of fortune you get from them. but their checkout process is just written the same way that all of their other copy is, which is very informal, like pop your email address in here, hit this button to whatever. And it can be as simple as a verb change to make people think, oh, a real person touched this. Like, this isn't just a robot that's going to take my money and maybe not send me these cookies that will make me sad.
Again, going back to how the end customer feels in the process. Love it. You talked about grammar and that it's not always best practices to have proper grammar. I think, you know, I was in the remedial English class in high school. I didn't have Mrs. Henderson. I had Mrs. Lane. And she was a step down. So my grammar is always kind of poor. We were at a friend's house. I've got 14 and 16-year-old boys. And the neighbor was copied on an email because something to do with the kids, what the kids were working on. And she asked my son if he'd already sent that. And he said, yeah. And she goes, oh, there was a grammatical error and blah, 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 blah. And it still read very well. It felt good. And it was like from a teenage boy. And you could tell it was from a teenage boy. And the intent was good. And I never would have corrected it. And she tried to after the fact. You intentionally will misspell things and misspeak or misspoke or whatever the case might be from what I can hear and what I've seen. Yeah. Is that correct? Can you?
Yeah. Talk about that? Yes. And it's a weird thing to say because I spent so long as first a copy editor and then a content editor. So I've been like in the nitty gritty line level proofing and the overall structural editing for so long. And I was such a stickler for such a long time. And then eventually I had to let go because my heart rate was getting nuts. Just wasn't great for me physically. But I think it's important to do it intentionally so that it doesn't come across as an oversight. So, for instance, if you're going to put in a misspelling, like I just said, gonna, I didn't say going to. Mm-hmm. Technically, you know, that's an elision. It's mashing two words together, cutting off the end of a word. That's intentional. It comes across as intentional. Misspelling a word in a subject line can be intentional, done the right way. The example that I gave was spelling M-O-R-E more as M-O-A-R, because that's kind of internet speak. That's obviously intentional. Even when subject lines do go out with actual unintentional typos, they tend to get higher open rates. I just saw one from Wistia. They're having an online conference called CouchCon, and there was a subject line with its, and there should have been an apostrophe in its. And I marked that unread in my inbox for days because I was like, I want to know if they did that on purpose. I don't think they did.
I got
a bunch of replies.
I don't think I would have known if it was proper or not. But did I just hear you say that subject lines that have misspellings or grammatical errors actually have a higher open rate?
Sometimes. I mean, if you're talking to any conversion copywriter, they're going to be like, it depends, no matter what you ask them. So I have to just give that disclaimer right now. It depends. But I personally have seen it. Lowercase subject lines often get a higher open rate because that's the kind of email we receive from our friends and family. Like, we don't bother capitalizing subject lines, especially not title casing each word, which I think that's officially dead now in the email marketing world. I haven't seen a ton of emails in my actual inbox. They're definitely in my spam folder.
You've never inquired on a Quiet Light listing, because I know that with my follow-up drip campaigns, I will capitalize the first letter of each word in the subject line. I need to stop that, is what
you're
saying.
It's a great test for you. Just, start running an alternative version of each of those emails with if you were to do a true test, you would just uncapitalize the rest of the sentence, but you could try a more conversational subject line. I could do a whole thing on subject lines. I like them a lot, but
it's the first point of contact, and never occurred to me to chill out a little bit and be more casual, even though, you know, we're hopefully anybody listening will take this and apply it to their own business, but we're, you know, online business brokers. We're selling businesses for $1 million or whatever the case might be, and sometimes we think we've got to be buttoned up and serious. We're working with entrepreneurs. We all work remotely around the country, around the world in Brian's case. And we try to be professional and serious, but we can be professional and casual and funny at the same time. Yeah. Hang on our subject lines.
There's a scale. You don't have to go.
Are you telling me to loosen up?
A little bit. I mean, do you have that top button unbuttoned? Is that a...
I do. Yeah.
See, we're great. Yeah. No
it's
tie.
Hot. It's I didn't hot. We talked about that.
Video, so I just look like garbage. So,
I'm in North Carolina. Leanna's in Nolens. Did I say that right?
No.
Say it. Give it to me. Go ahead.
New Orleans.
Where are you from?
New Orleans.
You actually have to enunciate it?
Not New Orleans. New Orleans.
New Orleans. Not Nolens.
People say New Orleans.
All right. It's New Orleans.
Never Nolens, unfortunately. Okay.
All right. Well, we're both hot and, figuratively anyway. And that's why I have my top button undone. What other things can people focus on besides the subject line, some of the stuff in the first point of contact with customers? What other little weird places do you think that they could focus on and try to be a little bit funny or a little bit more personal that the average person wouldn't look at that you've seen?
One of my favorite places to look at is copy surrounding a call to action. So anytime you're going to ask somebody to do something, you should probably be addressing their objections and previewing what's going to come next. And it's really nice to see a human and funny touch around the ask. So I can't remember if I mentioned this when you saw me speak, but I wrote a call to action to start a free trial for a software product. And normally underneath, you would see small text that says, no sign up required, or credit card required, or whatever. Your information is safe with us, that kind of standard objection reducing stuff. I wrote copy there that said, we do ask for your credit card, but it's just because we love online shopping. It's just a little reward for someone reading to be like, okay, all right, we're good. Yeah. You know, and obviously that person has to have a sense of humor, because if they take it seriously, then they're not going to sign up. But who's your target customer? Is it the person without a sense of humor? No.
Again, personalize, make it feel better. Like, I'm looking at your site now and I must have moved my mouse off the screen and something popped up and it says, I'd love to email you. And there's three O's in the word love.
Yes.
Now, what is down below there? It says subscribe now and then fam.
Nah, fam.
Yeah. What does that mean?
It's a no thanks. It's another way to say no thanks. So you can just, it's good to know that it's not coming across entirely clear to everyone.
Well,
you can sign up or nah, fam.
But I can tell like a human wrote this, which is again, exactly what is supposed to happen. And for those, again, listening and not watching. So this, all of you have this exit pop-up on your websites. This one is personal and funny, and I'm actually reading it. Normally I just X out, but now I'm reading it because you've spelled the word love wrong. Nafam, I don't know what that is. And I believe it's you in the image. Are you drinking coffee out of a box? Is that what's
drinking
happening there?
Box wine.
Box wine. So there's a picture of Leanna sitting at her desk. Her laptop is open and she's got a box wine up above her head and she's boozing it up. It's very, very entertaining, and it made me stop and look at it, where I go to all of your websites whenever I'm doing work with you, and if there's a pop-up, I generally just click X as quickly as I can. So very cool. Just
That's a great place. The exit intent pop-up is so hard to get people's attention. And people often think like, you know, I have only two sentences, or I have to put my offer just $20 off and it has to be no longer than that. But I worked with a client. This was through my other business, Snap Copy. So it was me and my business partner, James Turner. We optimized his opt-in offer to get people on his list for free planning. He runs a productivity website. And the headline that we ended up going with was, "Hey, don't leave without your goodie bag." And it boosted opt-ins by 129%. And there was some additional copy in there. It was a pretty long paragraph of what they were going to get when they signed up, but people read it and signed up a lot more than they did when it said, "Get free planners.
Hey, don't leave without your goodie bag." And it was an online thing just to get people to sign up. And was there like I think of a goodie bag as a swag bag when you go to an event like Blue Ribbon Mastermind. What kind of goodie bag was it? Was it just something you could get electronically?
Yeah, it was a digital goodie bag. It was like free weekly agenda or free monthly planner. He has a lot of free resources like that. So,
but it didn't say free gift. It said, "Hey, don't leave without your goodie bag."
Yeah.
Simple. You'd think it's simple, but it's... Yeah. People get too buttoned up, I think.
Finding new ways to say also the things that people are already accustomed to, because we've seen free gift so much. Yeah. We've seen claim my deal a lot. I feel like that's kind of, it's still working because it's very clear. But if you can find another way to say something that doesn't obscure the meaning of the copy, then it'll get people's attention. And they're like, "Oh, I haven't seen that before."
Okay. So pretty simple stuff, but not something I think everybody can do. You have a special skill. You're funny. You actually do stand-up comedy as well, right?
I do.
You do. Are you funny? Yeah. Of course you are, right?
People, you know, I feel like I want to write a bit about that, but it might be too hack because there have been better comedians writing bits about that. But someone did that to me the other day. She was like, "So I don't get it. You do stand-up, but like you're not funny right now." And I was like, "Maybe I'm not inspired." You're not a good audience. I don't know.
I'm glad I didn't say that. I think what you do is fantastic. You know, back to my radio direct response days, we'd write 60-second ad copy and we would be able to get direct responses. How many people called in when we gave out that phone number after 60 seconds? And so we knew exactly how well the copy worked. You're a conversion copywriter, so you found a way to do the same thing and boost conversion when somebody visits a website or open emails and things of that nature. Do you find your clients doing split testing with your copy against the original copy or things of that nature? Or did they just say, "This is really good. It's funny. Let's go ahead and just put that in place." And then they see how it works for a week. Or do they do an actual split test?
This is where the cobbler has no shoes, because I should be making sure that they do that. But sometimes my clients are in that stage between small and medium business where they don't really have the team to split test appropriately, or like they don't want to learn how to use Google Optimize or Optimizely or any other split testing tool. So usually it's, we see how the control or the original copy was doing, then we implement the new copy and it sort of functions as the test, and we see what the lift is, the uplift or downlift. Usually up.
Usually up.
Yeah.
Well, I had an experience many, many years ago where we had, when we take the phone calls and someone didn't want to buy the product, we would get their name and address and would send them out this simple little trifold brochure, really simple, black and white, or I think there was blue and white. And you could tell that it was somebody stuffed the envelope and we hand wrote it and it went out. It was from that person that you talked to on the phone. We had a consultant come in and say, "Oh, that's not very professional. We need to step it up. We need to, you know, get a multi-unfold brochure, colors and charts and graphs and all this stuff." And of course, we have to print out the addresses and make it professional. And conversion dropped by at least 50%. And it was a real eye-opener because it wasn't that personal touch and feel. And yeah. So I think everything that you said up on the stage at Blue Ribbon Mastermind made me want to have you here, because I've seen it firsthand and I know how much a word here and there and a feeling here and there converts. And it's really tough online. It's getting easier. And, you know, hopefully some of your work is being tracked with before or split tested so your clients know. But I think that all I know is when I go to a site like yours, I want to stay on it and I want to look.
Good.
As opposed to a pop-up. Like right now you've got a rubber chicken being cut in half and blood splurting. It's cute. Funny. So I love it. I think what you do is fantastic. How exactly would people reach out to you? Is it simply punchlinecopy.com? Can they get a sort of assessment? How do you work with your clients?
Yeah, so I have different productized services on my site. Sometimes people just need, they want to use me as like an ad hoc email copywriter, for instance. They'll come in and like buy one or two emails and they'll say, rewrite my abandoned cart email, because again, it's close to the purchase, or rewrite my welcome email so I get fewer unsubscribes when I add someone to my list. So I have one-off emails. I have something called uppercuts, which is where I do an audit of your landing page from a heuristic perspective. So I'll take any customer research data that the clients have for these kinds of audits, the more the better. But I'll just look at it and say like, this UX is garbage. Like this, you know, photo doesn't open. I can't zoom around the product. The call to action isn't visible enough from far away. And then I'll rewrite the copy line by line. And then I also do custom projects and I've got an intake form there. Yeah, there's a lot of ways to work with me.
Can you be funny in a sponsored ad or a Google ad? Do you work with anybody in those regards?
I don't do a lot of top of funnel acquisitions.
It's so a little tricky.
I've done it. I haven't run ads for my own business in forever. I probably should, but I'm the first result for funny copywriters. So who needs to? Am I right?
So one other simple, clean example is, again, and people could just go to your website and go, oh, that's cool, and get some ideas. Again, yeah. punchlinecopy.com. But, you know, folks, you probably have a chat now, talk to us little thing down in the lower right-hand corner of your website so somebody can chat with you. Well, Leanna has a picture of her,
it's a bit mochi.
Caricature of you, big eyes, and it says, you there? And it has you looking up over the little pop-up bubble, as opposed to the standard stuff, which is great. Again, it's personal and it makes me want to click it just to see if you are there.
Awesome. I'm not because I'm doing this, but.
everybody go to Punchline Copy and click you there and see what happens.
Like, send me an email. Most of the stuff on my site that I think people like the most is just stuff that makes me laugh. Because I thought it was hilarious to have that little thing like pop up in the corner. So
I like it. I like it all. Well, I think it'd be great if some folks can use your services.
Yeah.
And we have people on that I think can help more than anything else, whether that's somebody that is in the process of trying to grow their business and make it more valuable, or someone that's going to buy one and tweak it and make it more valuable than what they bought it for. And I think copy is so essential, because if it converts, you are again, conversion copywriter that just gets them more value for the money that they spend on advertising.
Yeah.
So I think it's fantastic. We will put your details in the bottom of the show notes so people can reach out to you. And any last minute thoughts on copy that people should think about, or are we good here?
I mean, I always want to challenge people to just try a joke somewhere. Like, take your most boring email in any of your series and go in and add a joke or add an aside, you know, add a PS that's kind of weird and see what happens.
Just to see what happens. Add a PS. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, PS, folks, thank you for listening to the Quiet Light podcast. Appreciate it. Leanna, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Awesome.
So are you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Quiet Light podcast. For more resources from this episode, head over to quietlightbrokerage.com. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a rating and review in iTunes. This helps share the messages from the show with more business owners like you.